Okay, good evening. It's November 4th, 2020. In compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice has been posted at the Municipal Building and distributed to the Hunterdon Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. Would you all please rise for the flag salute, followed by a moment of silence in honor of Veterans Day, which will be next Wednesday on November 11th. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. First up is presentation of minutes from the regular meeting of October 7th. If anyone has any comments, discussion, or any motion to approve.
Just some minor typos on page 5.
Karen, can you hear?
Karen.
No, I'm having a little bit of trouble.
Can you hear me, Karen?
Yes, now I can.
Yeah. Page 5, under the follow-up to the request of the Anti-Racism Coalition, if you go down one, two paragraphs, and then there's a sentence that says, discussion was held, Attorney Lyons provided he advice. I think it's supposed to be the advice. And then right below that, the word coalition in the first line is spelt kind of funky.
Page 5. Coalition. Oh, yep. If you see things like that, can you just let me know ahead of time?
I just saw it. To tell you the truth, I just saw it, or I was going to let you know.
Okay, thank you. I corrected it, so with okay. That amendment.
Any other comments or motion to approve as amended?
Make a motion to approve the minutes of the regular meeting October 7th, 2020.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. With that, we would open to public comments limited to agenda items only, reminding the public that the meeting is recorded and would be promptly posted on the Township website, and you'll need to press *6 to unmute yourself. Is there a motion to open to public comment?
I'll make a motion to open the public comment limited to agenda items only.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. This time, if any member of the public would like to make a comment on agenda items, please identify yourself. Road you live on.
Hello. Hi, this is Gene Slowinski, and I'm on Raritan River Road, and I'd like to make a comment on the agenda items on the Oprah.
Okay.
First, I'd like to thank the committee for giving me the opportunity to speak tonight. I will open and close my remarks with the same statement, which is, Committeewoman Kohler, if your goal was to cause pain and suffering to a couple in their late 60s, congratulations, you've been successful. I would like the residents of Lebanon Township to know that there's confusion in their minds that I'd like to clear up tonight. And the confusion can be summed up in a question. Why does this disputes between two people end up at the township committee level? I want the residents of Lebanon Township to know that Catherine and I are equally confused. There is no dispute. We have no idea why this Oprah targets Catherine and me. We do not know what brought on this Oprah. We have no quarrel with Committeewoman Kohler. We do not know what she's trying to accomplish. We have asked Committeewoman Kohler, what is the problem? What are you looking for? And the answer we get back is no comment. We have offered to sit with her and resolve the problem amicably and at no cost to the township. Our offer was refused. To the residents, if we don't know what the problem is, you don't know what the problem is. You don't know why Committeewoman Kohler is spending taxpayer dollars on all of these legals. We just don't know. Given that, Catherine and I have been forced to retain a civil rights lawyer. I'm sorry that Committeewoman Cola didn't take advantage of our offer to solve this at no cost to the township. It's a missed opportunity. Now, it's fascinating to talk to a civil rights lawyer about this OCRA. The issue is, when does an overly broad and completely unfocused OCRA transition into a violation of the Fourth Amendment protections against unreasonable search? And this is coming from a lawyer who really understands the Constitution. The Fourth Amendment was written because British soldiers would break down the doors of people's houses and search for whatever they wanted. They didn't have to account to anyone for anything. That world was physical. Our world is digital. Our homes exist on hard drives. My front door is made of zeros and ones. This OCRA breaks down the door of Catherine's and my digital home as violently as any British soldier ever did. I'm not being dramatic. The OCRA states that Catherine and I must turn over all of our emails we ever sent to any resident of Lebanon Township. Think about that. All emails we ever sent to any resident of Lebanon Township. I sent an email to my neighbor. Hey, Harry, it's a holiday. When's the garbage pickup? That's covered by this OCRA. A neighbor is sick. The community sets up a schedule for different families to make dinner for the neighbors over the next week. That is covered under this OCRA. And that is just the beginning. The OCRA covers any of our emails with the Board of Adjustment, zoning officer, township committee people, and a host of others. The OCRA covers some correspondence as far back as 2014. That's almost 7 years ago. Committeewoman Kohler demands that we turn over the contents of our hard drives of anything even remotely related to the township in an undefined search without probable cause and with not justified to a judge under oath. Committeewoman Kohler's OCRA breaks down the digital doors of at least a dozen other Lebanon Township volunteers who must submit the documents on their hard drives in this attack on Catherine and me. We need to go back to first principles. I believe this OCRA is a misuse of a power legal instrument to target Catherine and me. I encourage the municipal clerk to post this OCRA on the website. I hope other residents will read it carefully. When you read it, take my name out and put your name in. Then you'll know how it feels to be the target of a powerful legal instrument with no idea why you are the target. Committee member Wonder, you and I agree on some things, we disagree on others. That's the way it should be. However, I want you to know that I have nothing but utmost respect for your military service and the military service of many others in this township. The bedrock foundation of the U.S. military is to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. Committee member Wall, when your father was manning a listening post in the middle of the night somewhere in Vietnam, he might not have felt like he was protecting and defending the Constitution, but at a fundamental level, he was. Why do I bring this up? I believe this egregious use of the OCRA regulations is an attempt to circumvent Catherine and my and the other volunteers constitutional rights as guaranteed in the Fourth Amendment. This is an unreasonable search. To the veterans in the township, the English language does not convey some sentiments very well, but I want all of you to know that I have only the deepest respect for the hardships you endured and the sacrifices you made. Committee member Wonder, the Constitution needs your protections again. In my opinion, this OCRA is, in my lawyer's opinion, this OCRA is a violation of the Fourth Amendment. I would like to say a few words about protecting Catherine and my good name in the community. Neither Catherine nor I are on Facebook. My understanding is that some members of the community are being very supportive of us on that platform, others less so. However, I spent time reading the works of truly spiritual people like Gandhi, Thomas Merton, Teresa of Avila. I quickly came to the conclusion that what other people think about me is none of my business. Having said that, our constitutional lawyer reminded me that there is value in protecting Catherine and my reputation and good name. That reputation translates into community spirit and a sense of belonging. To those of you on Facebook, when it lights up tomorrow morning, I have a request. Please start your post with the following sentence. I either know Catherine and Eugene, or I do not know Catherine and Eugene. After that, say anything you want as long as it's true. And I hope Committeewoman Kohler will support us in that request. I believe our reputation and good standing in the community has been harmed by this action. This is not a trivial concern. To the Township Committee, I'm requesting that you vote your support or lack of support for this OPRA. I don't know if you have the power to end the OPRA, but I do know that you have the power to vote your support or lack of support for this action. I think the Township residents deserve to know which committee members support this OPRA and which committee members oppose this use of taxpayer money. I would like to say a word about cost. At the last meeting, committee member McKee asked an important question, and I will paraphrase. Can we break out the cost of this OPRA so that we can determine if there's a benefit to the taxpayer? I do not think he received a clear answer. Allocating costs to projects is as old as accounting itself. This is not a difficult task. The taxpayers deserve to understand the costs associated with this OPRA. What is more difficult to understand is the benefit. A cost-benefit analysis must include both. What are the benefits to the taxpayers? What is the value the taxpayer is receiving? I hope the township residents are prepared for the tax hike that this OPRA will likely require. The township committee does a beautiful job of running a lean organization efficiently. I am truly impressed with the work they do to keep costs low while keeping services high. A result of that is that there are not surplus funds available to pay for the legal expenses related to this unprecedented use of OPRA. What's worse is none of these expenses are necessary. Catherine and I tried to resolve this issue amicably and at no expense to the taxpayer. Township residents, I'm afraid the committeewoman Kohler tax hike is coming. To the volunteers, I am not a volunteer. I'm too selfish and self-centered for that. But this township is blessed with generous people who offer their time and energy to make this a great place to live. My hat is off to the people who wash the dishes at the firemen's breakfast, pick up trash in Memorial Park, hold a trunk and treat for the little kids during the middle of a pandemic. Who are these people? What gene do they have that I don't? Well, there's over a dozen of them right now combing through their hard drives looking for documents as far back as 2014 in an attempt to comply with this OPRA. That's almost 7 years ago. Volunteers, I hope the committeewoman Kohler's OPRA does not put a chill on your generosity. After Catherine and I became the targets of this OPRA, I reassessed my view of volunteerism. I look at your generosity in a new light. It gives it new meaning. you really do make this township a more joyful place to live. I encourage members of the community to unmute themselves tonight and express your support or your lack of support for Catherine and me. This is an issue that deserves an open airing among community members. In closing, Committeewoman Kohler, if your goal was to cause pain and suffering to a couple in their late 60s, congratulations, you have been successful. Thank you, committee, for giving me the opportunity to speak tonight.
Thank you. If another member of the any of the public would like to make a comment related to agenda items, please press star 6 to unmute yourself, identify yourself, and the road you live on.
Hi, this is Jan Gibbous. I live on Raritan River Road. And Jean and Kathy are neighbors as well as friends. And I'm also a volunteer in the township. And I think that this would put might put a damper on volunteer enthusiasm. You should be making it more fun for people to volunteer, not less so, and not subject them to anything like this. I think Kathy's been a dedicated volunteer for the historians and done, I've heard about some of the research she's done, and it all sounds good to me. I don't understand this. Thank you.
Thank you. If anyone else would like to make a comment, press star 6 to unmute yourself on your phone. Please identify yourself. Hearing no other comments, is there a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. So on to our resolutions. First resolution, 79-2020, titled Resolution Fixing the Stipend of Certain Employees of the Township, specifically related to our recycling coordinator. The situation here is that this position is held by a member of the collective bargaining unit, but the position is not part of the collecting, it's not a union position, it's not part of that bargaining unit. So this resolution is to align the change in compensation for that stipend to the increases that have been negotiated with our CWA contract. So it goes back to 2015, the first year of the new contract. The increases listed here are the stipend amount listed here is increased by those amounts through this year, and then it states that for 2021, 22, 23, that stipend will increase by the same percentage provided for in the CWA contract.
What's that percentage?
Two
even, the negotiated going forward?
Excuse me?
The percentage going forward is 2%.
Yeah, 2% in 2000.
4 years.
Then, you know, there's... Yeah, 21, 22, and 23. 2%.
That's not from 2015. That's just the 3 years forward. 2015, it was 1.5. I don't have it memorized.
It's 1.5 for 2016, 1.75 for 2017, 1.8 for 2018, 1.9 for 2019, 1.95, some of that. But in 2020, it's 2%.
Is that coinciding with any other raise percentages?
That's what every CWA member gets.
So it's coincides.
It coincides.
Right. Whatever the economic package that they got, she gets as well.
The only question I have, will this have to be a resolution done yearly, annually, or will this...
As part of the reorg.
Okay.
I expect yes. We'll
yep.
appoint her as a recycling coordinator and put that in. Yep. Any other discussion, or is there a motion...
I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 79-2020. It's a resolution fixing the stipends of a certain employees of the township.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next resolution, resolution 80-2020, authorizing the services of a qualified purchasing agent. For the last couple of years, we've had a shared service agreement with Holland Township, where they provide services of their qualified purchasing agent to Lebanon Township. As part of that, we pay them an annual amount of $2,000. This is listed in the attached actual agreement. The difference in this agreement, we've been doing this annually. We're now proposing to make it a two-year agreement, so this agreement will last through December 31st, 2022. The resolution authorizes us to sign the attached agreement. Any discussion?
I'll make a motion to approve resolution 80-2020 for the qualified purchasing agent for two-year contract.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Which takes us to old business. The first item on old business is titled OPRA Conflict Council. So there are two topics that I think the committee needs to understand in order to take action on this tonight, and we're not retaining counsel tonight. The ultimate action that we would have would be to direct our administrator to get proposals for conflict counsel. I think we need to understand, number one, why the volunteers need legal advice, and number two, understand that our municipal attorney cannot provide advice to them. Again, for background, if people haven't weren't on the last meeting, the topic deals with an Open Public Records Act request, OPRA request, filed by Ms. Kohler, first submitted on October 8th, 2020, revised on October 14th, with an addendum revision submitted on October 15th. This request, like all OPRA, is being fulfilled by our municipal clerk, who by state statute is the township's custodian of records. And if I make any misstatements, Karen, please make sure the public knows the correct information. Now, when the clerk has questions about the application of OPRA law or how the courts may have interpreted the OPRA laws, she consults with our municipal attorney, and I would also ask him if I misstate anything to please correct me. So, members of the township family from whom public records are being requested, and this happens regularly to, not so much for emails, but we get OPRA requests, you know, multiples every week. If the clerk has questions, well, the questions normally go to the clerk. If the clerk has questions, she then consults the municipal attorney. And here I want to just maybe address part of what was said before. The Kohler OPRA request is not a township action. If you review the minutes of this committee, you listen to the meeting recordings, you'd confirm this OPRA request never came before this committee. The OPRA request was never discussed or voted on. This request is a private action taken by Ms. Kohler, which she has every right to take as an individual. The question that was raised last meeting about whether our municipal attorney has a conflict of interest in providing guidance to the various township volunteers from whom township records created on their personal email accounts have been requested. It turned out that both the requestor and the requestees have raised issues of whether the municipal attorney's loyalty and objectivity can be maintained given the relationships between both the requestor and the requestees. Our attorney, Mr. Lyons has informed us that given the issue that's been raised by both sides about his potential loyalties, professional standards would suggest that an independent attorney should be used in this manner for the clerk's questions regarding this OPRA request. I also just want to emphasize here, an OPRA request is not an investigation in the sense that anyone is a target, notwithstanding that some may feel that way, but there's no implication that any mistakes have been made by anyone. It does not require any probable cause like a search warrant. It's not an investigative tool of government. It merely indicates that a citizen has an interest to know information that's contained in public records. There's no conflict in the sense that one side is prosecuting, the other side is defending. So the attorney's not in that kind of a classic conflict situation. I just want to reiterate, the township is only requesting public records which may reside on a volunteer's private email system. As was mentioned, I concur with the public comment earlier, no one and no government has any right without a search warrant, which would have to be supported by probable cause, lawfully approved, to have anyone's private communications. The legal advice that the volunteers may need, to the extent that the clerk cannot answer the questions directly, is if a specific document is in fact public or a private document. So in the case of our volunteers, I believe we need to take every precaution to protect their privacy. I think we need to provide them with enough support, including legal advice, for them to sort out their public records from their private records before any records are sent to the township. To provide advice for our volunteers, then, we need to hire what would be called a conflict counsel to provide that advice, since our municipal attorney has indicated that he would feel conflicted and can't represent them in this matter. The best estimate that we've been able to come up with during this past week would be that the cost of the conflict counsel should be, we think, under $17,000, which would allow us to not have to go out for requests for proposals. Instead, we can ask our administrator to solicit proposals. So the action before us would be to authorize the administrator to evaluate qualified conflict counsel, attorneys with experience in municipal law, and especially OPRA, next meeting to bring us one or more proposals that we could then select a conflict counsel to represent, assist the clerk and the volunteers in this manner. Is there any discussion among the committee, or would there be a motion to authorize the administrator to bring to the committee proposals for the conflict counsel?
First, I'd like to ask Matt to talk about what an OPRA is and what it isn't.
Okay. I first of all, let me say, we're now on notice of a pending claim, so I want to speak in issues broadly, and I can do so with certain limitations. I'm not going to address allegations, particularly with the party who has announced tonight that they're retained counsel. There is no, and I think the mayor touched on this, but there's no threshold or standard necessary to establish the right to file an OPRA request. It's a statutory right that every citizen has and can exercise. There's no requirement to disclose a motive or a. There is no quote target. It's not akin to a criminal investigation in any way. So that's a misnomer. That's a confusion that arises, but it's not a proper corollary under the OPRA statute. The idea that people's rights are being abridged certainly is for them to handle. We are simply providing guidance as to the standards of OPRA. We as a governing body are not providing or seeking to provide people with advice as to their own personal legal rights to file a claim against us. So I think we need to be very, very, very concerned about, you know, discussing the entirety of the facts of this situation. But and I don't know if that's responsive to your question, Committee Woman Kohler, but that is, there's no threshold, there's no basis, there's no requirement to state a reason or anything like that. It's also, this is not government action. So a civil rights violation is government action, involves government action. The issue of the fact that you don't lose your right or your ability to file this request because you're a member of this governing body. The issue of the conflict, again, normally a conflict can arise when myself or one of my partners directly represents a member in the dispute, one side or the other. And quite frankly, our firm's been around for a while, so that is a possibility. That's not the case here. I represent the governing body. I don't represent Committeewoman Kohler directly, but obviously she plays a role in my appointment and has done so in the past. And again, I've been questioned. I'll just say it, and I don't take it personally. I can understand different people have different perspectives on this. It puts me in a non-self-imposed inability to provide advice because people on both sides of the issue don't believe I can do so fairly. My own feelings aside on that they're irrelevant. So, situation, my appointment to serve this governing body, and the very unique conflict that has arisen here, the limited conflict, does create a situation where the clerk, who has the right to certainly counsel on all of these, and it was correctly stated, the clerk and I work on dozens of OPRAs over the last several years, and I'm not going to respond to each comment regarding how we do that, but just suffice to say that she and I routinely deal with these and are very, very experienced in doing so. So it is a unique result that if somebody that is the subject of the need to acquire the public records needs to have legal clarification or legal advice and believes that I cannot provide so impartially. So I do think that they need to have an outlet for that. And again, the clerk and I ordinarily would handle that, but in this unique situation, I cannot do so.
Would you also talk about the fact that the records that are being asked for are not personal records, but that they're records that belong to?
I would have, Committee Woman Kohler, and now that we are now on notice that those definitions and those issues may be the subject of somebody's lawsuit against the township, respectfully, I'm not going to have that conversation on the record with regard to what may be a pending claim. My own understanding of that claim and what our defenses are to it aside. So no disrespect to your question, and again, I was prepared to answer that, but I don't believe it's in the best interest of Lebanon Township for me to answer that on the record this evening.
So just to clarify, my opinion has always been that your job is to protect and represent the township of Lebanon, not really this committee. Is that true or not true?
Well,
I know that individually.
Yeah, it's right. That's a fine distinction, but yes, the township, and that's it. I represent the quote corporate entity, not you, Brian, individually. And again, if I do real estate closing for you, that creates true conflict issue. This is,
well, that's obvious.
Yeah, this is, yeah, that's an obvious conflict, and something that would need to be dealt with and avoid it, quite frankly. This is a unique situation where because of the unique facts and the nature of the request, it puts me in a through no actions of my own. If I had taken that representation on and charged you a fee, that's my fault. That's my mistake, and here it's just a combination of all these factors.
So where's the distinction going to fall when someone else has a Oprah, gets Oprah'd, and doesn't believe it's rightful? Do we have to hire another attorney?
This is unique based on the way the request was submitted, and I think it's very limited that those facts that you just laid out would reoccur.
Then the other question I have is the scope of this third-party attorney that would help Karen, actually, is what they're helping when Karen can't answer questions on the records that the volunteers would be providing. It's not that the volunteers are having access to the attorney.
Well, I can't rule that out, but what I would say is I don't want to litigate the potential claim against us this evening, but the clerk, the custodian of records, has a dual obligation to both produce and protect privacy. So, the role is limited. It simply applies to this records request. It doesn't apply to anybody's individual rights as to a claim against the township, and the clerk, I don't want to sit here and give each and every possible permutation, but of course our clerk is well experienced in these matters, and not every issue under an OPRA would rise to the level of the need for legal advice. The issues that have been raised before this governing body on more than one occasion now are legal issues, in my opinion. without rendering an opinion on those legal issues because of the conflict, it's clear to me that they are the issues of legal nature. So a legal nature, not a legal nature. There is obviously routine elements of an OPR request that not many elements that the clerk is well versed in. We are now already on notice of a potential or likely claim against the township based upon this process. So I think it's unfair to the clerk that she not have the ability to consult.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So, and again, I could and would get into more detail, but I can't do that based on all the issues that have been raised, and particularly the ones that have been raised against me personally.
Well, I guess my question to whoever wants to voice your opinion, will this money spent then be educational for the future as a learning thing? It's not going to be like just zeroed in on this one item, but we'll get something out of this long term, is what I'm trying to figure out here.
I have an opinion, but I don't think I want to voice it here.
Okay. Where would you voice it then?
In my vote, I guess I'd voice it. But
well, I mean, that's what I'm trying to
evaluate. You'd like to think, you know, so, that if we're going to expend money that...
I get that, but are we going to get some value for it?
You'd like to think that it's going to be educational. That's all I'm saying. But I have a question for Committeewoman Kohler. Is there any way that you would consider amending that OPRA to just include the committee, the governing body here, and let the boards and volunteers at this time set aside and look at the information that you gather at this committee level? Would that be something you would consider?
No.
Okay.
I would like to know, though, what the process is going to be for handling this third-party attorney, because there's got to be a process. It can't be that there's no process, that the clerk is it the clerk? Are you going to let the volunteers call this person? Where did the $17,000 come from?
Let's back up on that. Is that it didn't come from anywhere. It came from the local public contracts law. It's a presumption that it won't exceed that.
Okay.
It's not a presumption that it'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
We have, as you're well aware, we have local public contract law and thresholds,
mm-hmm,
that would be below the threshold, thus making the process quicker and cleaner, quite frankly, less cumbersome.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason. It's not a target to spend. It's a threshold not to exceed. That's why. So there's no, and quite frankly, I'm not going to sit here. I'm not going to be held to what it's going to cost, quite frankly, because it's not within the control of I can't control that. I don't know what is going to occur in those interactions. What I'll say is, and I'm not, again, the clerk is very highly skilled in her statutory duties, and I'm not, and I don't think there's any need to question that. Again, if somebody asks for legal advice, the clerk's not going to give legal advice. That's been my experience. I can't sit here and game plan every potential thing that will arise, because quite frankly, this thing has tentacles, has become more complex as the days have gone on. I'm going to have to ask for a minute. I'm sorry. I got an issue I have to deal with. I'm going to have to step out
yep.
a few minutes. It was unavoidable due to the election week, so I'm not...
Well, you don't need to depart the building?
I'm not going to be able to. I'll have to deal with this, and I'll be back shortly. I don't like to do that, but I'm doubled up because of yesterday's holiday.
And we do have your attorney colleague, Tara, on the line? I believe.
I have her filling in for me now, and there's
okay.
an issue that she
oh.
needs
oh,
me to
sorry.
Refer with. I know this
okay.
is an important issue, and I'll be back. I'm going to step out and deal with it. I don't know if you can deal with other business.
I was just going to ask you, do we have more discussion on this, or are we
I would like, well, if we're going to take, go ahead, Matt.
I'm sorry.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Yep.
You know, we can come back to this.
I'm just going to step outside.
What I would like to, I mean, we're obviously going to take a vote tonight.
The vote would be to get proposals.
Okay. So it's, yeah, all right, as long as that's what the vote is. Then
The vote is just to direct the...
And I'll come back with the proposal.
I mean, right. We don't have qualifications, we don't have billing rates, we don't have anything to
authorize. Right, and
you authorize.
Also have to know what, by law, we legally need to provide versus
now that
we don't
need.
Right.
We would need it back in.
And again, I'm very concerned about process. So...
Do we want to take a vote on this matter or table it till the attorney can come back and work through the rest of the agenda?
I'm ready. I'm
He's not going to vote, so...
Pardon me?
I say continue. He's not going to be voting.
Okay, then... The motion that would be before us would be to authorize the administrator to bring to the committee proposals for conflict counseling.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call.
I'm going to abstain just because I'm involved.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Next on the agenda is... it's titled Revocation of Land Donation. Those of you who might have heard last week's meeting, the township approved an offer made by a gentleman to donate land on Mount Lebanon Road. The next morning we received from him, after we told him that it had been approved, we told him unfortunately his plan unexpectedly changed, and on that very day that we accepted his offer, he accepted an offer from another person to purchase the property. So that... donation, that land, that open space will not be happening. Okay, next I think we should add in a COVID update and turn it over to the administrator. As many of you may have heard, let me say one thing. The update to put on the record, there are now 40 cases in Lebanon Township. I think it was up one yesterday, up one about a week during the prior week. It went about 2 weeks without a change. So they're around. But on last Thursday, the governor issued Executive Order 192, which goes into effect tomorrow, which requires some new procedures. And our administrator has now spent the last 2 days getting ourselves ready to comply with the governor's order.
On October 28th, the governor's Executive Order 192, which was issued, it takes effect tomorrow at 6 a.m. in the morning. And pretty much all the policies and procedures of social distancing are still in effect. But the thing that's different now is there's a questionnaire and a temperature check every single day that an employee committee here as well. And we have meetings. There'll be a temperature check, and you have to fill out a questionnaire, sign it, and you have to hand it over to your supervisor. I have copies for each, committee member here, and the questions are basically, do you have a fever, loss of taste or smell, or anything like that? But if you answer yes to any of those, then what would happen in that situation is the supervisor would have to send the employee home and then follow up later on with the procedure that has to be followed. So I have copies here for each one of you. And I will tell you this, it's we learn as we go at this, because it's I can't explain it, but I can explain it. I see this changing rapidly as the numbers increase even more.
If I'm down a few pounds, we'll have to declare that.
I know I have a few more copies here. I just wanted to give them out to you. And the thing is that, in my opinion, it's just going to put a lot of pressure on your supervisors.
And just to be clear for anyone from the public, this isn't specific to municipal employees. This is every employer in the state.
Yes.
Employer now
in the
has
state.
To do this.
I have one for you.
I have one. James, I have one.
We have a temperature gun?
Yeah, we ordered temperature guns and everything. And
they do it at the
we'll be ready to go.
Did you have your training?
He's got it.
Okay. We'll be ready to go 6 a.m. tomorrow.
6 a.m. tomorrow.
But I will say this, though. This is going to be... this will probably be... Like you see, I have in here to be amended. There will be a lot of amendments going forward, I can see. We're going to probably get Executive Order 193 shortly on other matters if this continues to increase. And possibly, the state can also shut down government once again. We'd have to go through the whole process again on remotely working from home. So
further instructions from the supervisor, if someone was to answer yes, seems to me it would be a test for COVID then, or?
Well, that's the next. I talked to Matt about that today. I said, Matt, you know, and I asked the same questions you've asked. I said, what if this takes place? Somebody says yes to one of these, and then they have to actually quarantine, and they're going to have to probably get a test. Do we ask them to use sick time? Or what if it comes back negative?
Yeah.
And then we ask them to use sick time that they probably wouldn't have to have used. So, and what Matt said to me was that, you know, the state is going to constantly move on this, and what possibly could happen is the state will say, no, you have to pay that employee, or you don't have to, or you can have sick time. But I think going forward, I'm going to have a lot more contact with the county.
Okay.
Because I'm gonna have a lot more contact with the county, because I want to be able to go by their what they're doing as well. But this just came all of a sudden,
yeah, right.
And it had to be addressed immediately.
Okay.
And I want it to be in compliance by tomorrow morning.
Okay. Very good. So we'll see where we go.
Yep. That's okay. Where it is.
Any other discussion on that?
Mm-hmm.
Any other old business from anyone?
Yeah, I was talking to Jamie. The basin
fix.
Did you
want to
talk a little
bit? Yeah, I spoke to Mike McGinnis from R&K Environmental, and he's going to have three remediation. No, I got rented lips, excuse me. No, remediation companies that are going to come in. He's going to have them come in, and they're going to scan downstairs, and they're going to give us quotes. And when it comes back with the quotes, we'll choose who.
Okay, and then we also have to determine what DPW is going to do versus what the...
Yeah, like if there's some stuff that we can do in-house, we'll do it
in-house. Right.
But there might be, like a perfect example, if we have to move boxes and this and that, then we're going to have to get a remediation company because that you'll disturb all that. You know.
Right.
But, so there might be some stuff we can do in-house. But here's one thing we might have an issue with. When it comes to money, anything from what I and Matt, I could be wrong. Anything over $2,000, no, it's not going to be more than $16,000. Won't be nowhere near that, I don't think. But then you go to prevailing wages. So, but he doesn't think it's going to get there. It could be a lot less. Well, that's downstairs for the basement.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So he said he would have three companies come in, and he'll get them. You know, whichever you know the quotes we get, I'll bring them in front of the Council committee, and we'll go forward.
Well, and if some part, if it comes out to be, say, like $17,000, but you can look at that quote and see that the DPW
could
legitimately do certain parts of it.
Right. And what he's also going to do is he's also going to give us a quote on the HVA system, because we have to, as you know, it goes underneath the ground and it fills up with water. So we're going to have to get an alternative vent in the meantime until we talk about capital and. Redo the whole, not the whole system. The system probably still good.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that the ventilation is going to have to be.
You got some money stacked away towards stuff down there, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you're not going to get rid of that problem with water until you fill in the vents and stuff.
Any other old business?
Did we want to go back and talk about, now that Matt's back, just wrap things up on process? At all, or do we want to put that off till another meeting with the third party?
It's up to you. I
narrow the scope. Like
the conflict.
I mean, what is required by law? What do we see? That's the thing. I understand that we are not required by law to provide legal counsel to the volunteers. But if there are questions, the counselor would be there for Karen if she can't, as the pro she is. Answer those questions that would be coming from the volunteers about the records that would really belong to the township because they're township business on personal computers, that the lawyer is not there to talk to the volunteers.
Again, I think we have to be very, very careful about discussing the merits of this case, particularly you and I in particular, everybody, especially now that we have a potential lawsuit against us for that. I can't tell you that I can't presuppose what the questions and issues are going to be. I have an idea, but quite frankly, I've been surprised already in things. So I can't preclude. I'm very confident that our clerk is very well aware of her role and the interface with the attorney. And from a spending standpoint, you know, that's an administrative function. We have the right that we're charged reasonably for the work that's required. I've seen many towns where even legal bills of all things are questioned by the administrator, and there's a conversation. So, the statute places dueling obligations on the clerk. She's very good at balancing those. She's highly trained in balancing those. I can't say that there's no possibility. I can't completely presuppose what she's going to be confronted with from somebody who is the subject or the involved in this process. And that's all I can really say. I can't, as the requester, I can't really discuss the merits of the legal issues of what may or may not be subject to that request when you're the party making the request.
Okay, so just to answer this question. The OPA request during COVID has to be returned within 21 days.
I'm not going
to
answer that. I can tell you right now. I'm not going to. You have an adverse interest to this governing body. My legal representation is to this governing body. You want to pose a question as to the process and what our obligations are when you are, in essence, on the other side of the table. And this very limited. Every right you have every right to make this request, but I can't answer that on the record in a situation where you have already questioned my independence and somebody on the other side of the issue has questioned my independence. My obligation, my loyalty is to the township as a whole, the township proper, the body politics. So I understand what you're saying, and now, I'm constrained, and I cannot have a conversation or provide an answer to that. No disrespect.
Okay, then I'll just make a statement. I would assume I'd get documentation within 21 days because of the COVID situation. The questions to that third-party counsel should have all been answered at that point because the documentation will be complete and in my hands. So what I'm getting at is, at the end of 21 days, there should be no more questions by anyone on what was handed over.
I will acknowledge that as a requester, you have made that statement, and I believe that our custodian has heard it, and if she hasn't, I'll make sure that she has.
Thank you.
Okay. We already, in your absence, the group felt we could take a vote, and so we've directed the we already voted to direct
okay.
The
I didn't even know what
I know
yeah.
So we're now on to new business. No one has any first on that is email expansion, and this as an outcome of what we've learned over the past couple of weeks. We clearly need to supply email addresses to all township volunteers so that they don't at least have the possibility of not mixing township business with personal business. We also clearly have We talked for some time about updating the township's email system. We've also talked about needing a new IT professional since the one we'd had, I guess, shut down his business to pursue another opportunity. Mark Lall has some expertise in this, and I think a follow-up meeting, we'll get a proposal from an IT expert and get real prices on it, but if you wanted to...
Sure. I mean, obviously, this brought up the item of... You know, obviously, as we're moving, you know, everybody does everything digitally. So it's brought up, you know, the OPA request has brought up this item. My recommendation, we have about 60 volunteers or so, is to look at establishing when somebody volunteers and, you know, for one group or another, that we establish a township email address. So in the future... the clerk will have complete access to all these email addresses, and this will not be an issue. So There's two plans here. I think the $8 plan is the better one, since it does do it has archiving as part of it. And this is a Microsoft 365 account specifically for Exchange, so it will give the user a web version of Outlook to log into. There wouldn't be anything needed to be saved on their machines. These would be, you know, and looking at, if we have a high IT expert that would assist with setting up these accounts, assist with Karen on being the administrator of these accounts, it would allow us then also then set up groups for each one of our standing committees that, you know, could be sent emails to. And then obviously when they would be, you know, a volunteer, acknowledge that this is a township email address and it all has to be retained and nothing can be deleted in conversation. So, like I said, I think this just kind of brought to light that the cost per user is about $8 per month per user, which works out to be around $6,000 for the email service for the volunteers, plus whatever time would be necessary from an IT person. You know, my guess for setting all this stuff up, getting a website address established, because I don't know if we could use our one right now just because of dealing with transferring and archiving and everything else, I think it'd be better just to establish a new one. It'll just make the transfer of data and archiving for Karen a whole lot easier, I think, in the long run. So probably 24 to 30 hours for some IT expert to get all that established for us and set up. So depending on who we find, and, you know.
Well, this is just my opinion, and I think it's an emergent need right now that we need to get an IT person in. I'm going to refer to you, Matt. I spoke to an IT guy that we interviewed actually here, and he's in Tewksbury right now. And I asked him, you know, right now it's not in our budget to do a monthly charge, because he charges Tewksbury differently. So he agreed that he would do it an hourly rate of $100 and get us up and going. I explained everything that you said today to him, and, you know, he said some stuff that I just didn't even understand. But I know him, and he's been in several towns that I've been in, and he's very, very, very good. And he's very accessible. And, you know, if you need him, anybody can call him. And you have him like that. But my question to you, Matt, is that since it's an emergent need, do we have to go out to, you know, to get three quotes? Because, you know, we need to have an IT person. You know, the police department has some issues that have to be addressed as well as...
That would certainly raise a different set of issues. I need to know a little bit more about it. We can talk tonight or tomorrow morning about it, but as far as the proper procurement process, right? I don't know exactly how extensive this work is. It's a blind spot. Well, I will just say, and I think you all know me, I don't really chime in on any type of fiscal or budgetary issue, but this one, there's a clear cost-benefit from my viewpoint to doing this. I'm not saying that's never my place to tell you how to spend the township money. Just saying there is, obviously, you don't need to think very hard about how much time and effort this would save us in future potential situations. And it would also provide an opportunity for an onboarding situation when these are initialized to particular individuals, whether that be a written thing or even an interactive thing, a face-to-face or a Zoom thing.
Yeah, I mean, the one end of it is a fairly fixed cost, like I said, $8 per user per month. The other side is just the setup and then training side of things. Like I said, I have an IT company that works at my company, and I kind of went over the items, and they said, you know, 24, 30 hours is, you know, they feel is reasonable. So we're talking probably $3,000 potentially on the high end.
And it's only for the rest of this year.
Again, I don't want to talk about the security issue on the record,
right. Okay.
But if
in consultation with the chief, you and the chief determine that there's a...
emergent
again,
need.
I won't talk about the details, but
okay.
If we get there, then an emergency procurement is the problem.
Right, okay. That's what I was...
But, you know, we can walk through that, you and the chief and I, or you and the chief, and then you know, however you want to do it.
Okay.
So I wasn't looking for any kind of motion tonight because we don't have enough specifics. I just wanted everybody to agree that we're putting this on a priority list. And
Jamie, if you need to call me or have him call me and get on the conference call just to kind of help, you know, I'm willing to help however I can.
Okay. So next on our agenda is Best Practices 2020. This is a state questionnaire that our chief financial officer fills out, and also to preview, the town committee does not vote on this, and I believe Greg Delapi, our CFO, is dialed in. Greg, you
may
have...
How is everybody?
Hello, Greg.
Hi, guys. How are everybody doing?
Hello, Greg.
Doing well. So I guess, I don't know if you want to walk us through anything, and then this is an opportunity for the committee to ask you questions. That's what we normally do.
Well, the application's changed quite a bit. I believe there's a lot less financial questions on here than there are procedural type questions. The maximum score, even though there were roughly 60 questions, but then there were A, B, C parts of it, so I think it turned out to be probably closer to 70 questions, of which the maximum score that you could get was a 24.5. We got a 20. 16 is the cutoff where you start to lose financial aid. But again, we're relatively safe at a 20. And, you know, I needed the assistance of Karen as well as Warren on certain questions, and I believe I also spoke to the mayor about a few. And again, that's what's driving this in a direction that it's really not like it used to be, something that was more geared towards the municipal finances of the town versus being geared towards contractual items, personnel items, procurement, cybersecurity, environment, transparency issues, and then of course some COVID-19 responses and things like that. So, again, other than that, I think the town's, you know, doing well with it. Again, out of 24.5, we scored a 20. Unless there's a specific question, I really don't have much more to offer.
Any discussion from the committee?
Nope.
Everyone's shaking their head no, so thank you very much, Greg.
Okay.
Very good.
Not a problem.
We will.
Thanks, Greg.
Unless anyone has other new business?
Good night.
Good night. We'll move on to presentation.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night. Thank you, Greg.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I have one for the County of Hunterdon Library, the fourth quarter library tax, $73,731.81. And I have one here for some of the labor on the Slaker-Anthony Road. This is not the grant money. This is the, you know, just the $74,891.11 cost for the labor. And then I've got one for it's capital paving and contracting. That was the one for $74,891.11. Tilcon, one for $201,385.63 for asphalt and millings, and this was for basically the top of part of Red Mill Road, Van Sickles intersection, because that was kind of, there was a problem there with that intersection at the light, and a small part of Buffalo Hollow Road, there was some water issues, and Poplar Lane, and that's all that apply.
I have one for Cold Spring Lawn and Landscape. That's for doing landscape services around the missile building in the amount of $1,865. And we're to hold the check until we receive W-9 and BRC. That's all I have.
Okay, I've got our New Jersey State Health Benefit Plan, November premium $34,438.11. New Jersey Water Supply Authority, this is a co-payment for 50% of the costs of tree trimming on some township open space. It's related to ash trees, $3,325. Bayer Reese Engineering, the guide rail grant, other professional services in the amount of $9,240. Another one for Bayer Reese Engineering. This is related to the Highlands Council, Task 14, professional services rendered, $9,450. County of Hunterdon, fourth quarter county tax, $763,800.67. County of Hunterdon open space tax for the fourth quarter, $70,169.75. Rogat McCarthy, this is our bond counsel for the rollover of the bond anticipation notes, $1,059.88. And U.S. Custodian Bank for Tower DBW, this is for a tax sale that we approved last meeting in the amount of $10,928.88.
I have one for Smith Motor Company for repairs to one of the police vehicles on the motor and drivetrain, $2,560.28.
I have none that qualify.
So the total voucher list is $1,277,266.75. Is there a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve the voucher list.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Which then takes us to correspondence. We have two items in the packet. One is the museum curator's report.
I have nothing to add at this time.
And the second is the animal control report for the month of October.
Just looks like another raccoon. Just to be people be careful of raccoons out there that potentially could be rabid. That's it.
Which takes us to public comment on any topic any member of the public would like to address. Is there a motion to open public comment?
I'll make a motion to open a public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. This time, any member of the public, you'll have to probably press star 6 to unmute yourself. Please identify yourself and the road you live on.
Hello. This is Steve Leffley at Red Mill Road.
Hello. We hear you.
Can everybody hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Okay. Hi. First of all, just would like to say a little shout out to the township for the excellent running of the election and yesterday. I thought everything went very well, and I know certain members of the township administration get very involved in doing that, so I think that was great. Secondly, what I'd like to sort of, and I feel a bit conflicted in saying this, but you know, we're talking a lot about email. You know, I'm not an expert on OPRA, but you know, would other messaging systems also need to be addressed? Like, if somebody sends somebody a text message, does that apply? I mean, I don't wish to open up this incredible Pandora's box any wider than it is, but I also don't want to see a situation where we piecemeal an approach together for email, and then 6 months later we're back here again having discussions about text messaging and things like that. So, you know, I'm not sure if that's something that the township lawyer needs to talk to, whether, you know, other communication vehicles are discussed or not.
As we normally, I didn't preview this. Normally, this isn't a question and answer period. I'm looking to the attorney to see if he'd like to address anything on that.
I'm not going to get into potential exposure or whatnot. I will say that the OPRA law is broad, and the case law interpreting it skews greatly to expansion as opposed to restriction. And the law. The technology we all use on an everyday basis is far outpaced the statute and the people that wrote the statute. So it's a point well taken, and it is a concern in general across the state. And but yes, it's the definition of record of public record seems to be ever expanding, and I thank you for your comment.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other member of the public? Please, star 6 to unmute yourself. Please identify yourself. Last call, if anyone is trying to speak, star 6. Otherwise, hearing...
Oh, hi, this is Joyce Lepley, Red Mill Road. I guess I just wanted to respond to Eugene Slavinsky's request to give support to their concerns, and I'm also perplexed and disappointed that the parties involved didn't just at least get together once to try to resolve this without... becoming a big legal mess. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. So the last call, if anyone else is trying to make a comment, make sure you're pressing star 6, unmute yourself. Hearing no others, is there a motion to close public comment?
Make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And we have a couple of items on for executive session tonight, which would be Resolution 81-2020. We have an interview related to professional services for the township, and we have two personnel matters related to the police department. Is there a motion to go into executive session with Resolution
81-2020? Coming out?
I don't expect any action coming out tonight. No, thank you.
There will be none.
I'll make a motion to go into executive session. What number is it?
81-2020.
I'll make a motion to go into executive session resolution 81-2020.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And since there will be no action, we will disconnect the call at this time. Thank you, everyone, for joining.